Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The first words I spoke in the original phonograph. A little piece of practical poetry. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Thomas Edison there, remembering his 1877 original phonograph recording, the first words ever recorded and played back by the same machine. Now, those famous words of practical poetry were written by a fellow New Englander, New Hampshire's own Sarah Josepha Hale. She was a remarkable woman of the 19th century, championing women's rights to work and education long before the Women's Rights Convention at Seneca Falls. Hale served as America's first successful female literary editor and the godmother of a national Thanksgiving holiday. Connecticut author Melanie Kirkpatrick is out with a new biography of Hale. It's titled Lady Editor, Sarah Josepha Hale and the Making of the Modern American Woman. Kirkpatrick is a former deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal's editorial page and a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Melanie, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's wonderful to be with you, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And I should warn you and warn our listeners, we are expecting President Biden to address the nation on Afghanistan any moment, and we will take that to you when it happens. And so, Melanie, if there is a unceremonious goodbye to you, you'll know what happened.
Well, as a journalist, I understand.
We'll have you back. We'll see. The president, you know, famously not on time. So let's start with Sarah Josepha Hale and who she was. Largely forgotten today, except for those famous words or Thanksgiving. Tell us, who was she and how did she go from a mother of five living in rural New Hampshire to a household name in the late 1800s?
Well, first, let me mention that listening to Edison's words, reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb, was absolutely wonderful. But you did notice, I'm sure, that he did not mention who wrote the poem.
Nope.
So Mary Had a Little Lamb, one of her great achievements that she's known for today. At the time, that was not necessarily the case. Everybody thought Mother Goose had written it. But to answer your question, Jamie, she was probably the best known woman of the 19th century. And she was because of the two magazines that she edited. The Ladies magazine that she became the founding editor of in 1828 in Boston, which was then purchased by Lewis Godey of Philadelphia in order so that he could get Sarah Hale as editor of his magazine, which became known as Godey's Ladies Book. She was a dynamic woman, a very intelligent and determined woman. And when her husband died in 1822, leaving her with four children and a fifth on the way, she was determined to give them a good education, the way she and her husband had planned. The only respectable occupation open to a woman of the day was needlework, which she hated. So she transformed herself little by little with the help of some Freemasons in Newport, New Hampshire. She transformed herself into one of the first women to earn her living by a pen. And catching the attention of the man who was starting the Ladies magazine in Boston, she moved there and decided to use the magazine to pursue two important themes. One was education for women. And for the next 50 years, no issue of her magazine went to print without her hammering away at the idea that women needed to be educated. And the second issue was developing an American culture. She thought that while America had won the Revolutionary War and was independent from Britain, it hadn't developed its own common culture, literary culture or popular culture. And she set out to change that.
So, yeah. So, you know, she was born the year before Washington took office and lived for 90 years. So she sort of spanned this remarkable time in American history, post-revolution and antebellum America, the Civil War and Reconstruction. What was it like for her to be at the forefront of opinion making at that time?
Well, first, being a woman and creating a serious intellectual magazine was unheard of. So she was taking a big risk. she decided, she was a widow, of course, and it's interesting that to me that she chose to stay in mourning for the rest of her life, 57 years, dressed in black. And much as you like to wear black, I don't think I'd want to wear it every day for 57
Although
years.
Although I should tell you, my grandmother in Sicily did that.
Ah, well, there you go. I think in part it was to honor her late husband, but I also think there was a practical reason. Her black attire signaled to the people she dealt with that she was a widow, and therefore she had the right to manage her own affairs. Back in that period, American women who married were required by law, common law, to hand over all of their financial affairs to their husbands. So that meant their salaries, their inheritances, anything having to do with money. But Mrs. Hale, as a widow, was able to act for herself. Hmm. And that gave her a certain status that I think helped her in creating, turning her magazines into the successes that they
sort
were.
Sort of found the loophole of the day. But you know, there's so many different directions we could go here. And I do want to get to Thanksgiving. I also want to get to this idea that, like any figure from history, she's complex. She's, as you described, a strong advocate for women's rights. But yet, she didn't go as far as voting rights. And so I'm wondering if you could explain that sort of seeming conflict when viewed from 2021, where we have a woman Speaker of the House, a woman Vice President.
Well, you're right. She did not support women's right to vote. She thought politics was a dirty business, and who could blame her? She lived in the Jacksonian age. And she thought women were of a higher moral character and should exercise their influence from the high ground, so to speak. But, you know, people don't reach, people change and people evolve. And in 1828, the idea of a woman being a teacher was a radical idea. And yet she hammered home that idea. Then she hammered home the idea that women could
And went further than hammered home, right? Helped found Vassar College, you know, started multiple schools. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. And, you know, when no women could go to college when she started her career in 1828, and only half of American women were literate. So, and also I should point out, this was 20 years before Seneca Falls. So I would say she was a radical.
Sort of landmark women's rights convention.
Precisely. And at the end of her life, she lived to be 90. In the last few years, she did come to champion elections for women to school boards, which I thought was very interesting. And, you know, if she'd lived another 50 years, maybe she would have changed her mind. But, you know, even today, we're now seeing a lot of discussion about school boards when it comes to making the decisions locally, when it comes to such things as masks for kids who are returning to schools. And to school. And I think that Hale understood how important school boards were in our grassroots democracy.
So another issue central to her times, of course, was slavery and abolition and eventually the Civil War. And you write that while she was personally and morally opposed to the institution of slavery, she also didn't use the pages of her magazines to try to shape the thinking of the coming war and then you know, following. Again, can you help us understand that sort of maybe today from 2021 seemingly conflicting beliefs?
She was a woman of the 18th century, highly patriotic. Washington was her hero. She was the daughter of a man who had fought in the Revolution. And she thought that the bargain that the founders made about slavery, was preserve the Union. And for her, the highest good was preserving the Union. She thought that slavery was wrong, as you noted, but she thought that eventually it would end, but she didn't want to go to war over it. She also was a supporter of what was called the American Colonization Society. And this was a society that helped to found the country of Liberia in Africa. And of course, it was founded by freed American slaves. And she believed that a good solution for slavery would be to facilitate sending American freed slaves to Africa. She didn't think they could succeed in the United States, that there was so much prejudice and so much discrimination that it would be very hard for freed slaves to succeed.
Sort of predicting Jim Crow, I suppose. But again, that is a little bit of a tough pill to swallow in 2021. So how do you think about her legacy on that front today?
Oh, I of course, think that slavery was wrong, and I wished she had come out more forcefully. I think she made a mistake there. She also made a mistake, in my view, during the Civil War to not discuss it in her magazine and instead present Godey's Lady's book as a refuge for women to come where they didn't have to think about slavery. And I think that was wrong. Also, during the Civil War, many of the things she had pushed for on behalf of women were happening, most notably nursing, which had been a man's profession, and she had called for it being open to women. Yet she wouldn't write about that in her magazine during the war. So she really she was in her 60s by then, and she just retreated during that period.
You know, we mentioned Thanksgiving and sort of in the middle of the Civil War, she was able to get President Lincoln to make a declaration of a national holiday there. And, you know, today, of course, we're more than 400 years away from 1621, lots of rethinking and reframing of the traditional story of the Pilgrims and Native peoples here. Talk to us about what Thanksgiving looked like in her time and why she was pushing so hard for it to be a standardized national holiday.
At the end of the 18th and early 19th century, Thanksgivings were decided by the governors of individual states. So, you know, if a state celebrated the holiday, and not everyone did, it was on a different day. And there was a wonderful saying that if you planned your itinerary correctly, carefully, you'd be able to have a Thanksgiving dinner every week between Election Day and Christmas Day. So Hale saw Thanksgiving as a way to unify the country in keeping with the idea of cultural unity. And as the Civil War approached, she grew even more adamant about this. She thought that if Americans celebrated, gave thanks to God on the same day, that it could keep war from happening. She also saw it as a kind of patriotic day, in keeping with the 4th of July, which was celebrated in the summer, and Washington's birthday, February 22nd, for those of you too young to know, remember that. So Thanksgiving being in the fall would come at a good time when Americans needed a break, but also it would fit in with the idea of celebrating America. It was another homegrown holiday.
So, Melanie, just in our last 60 seconds here, the clock has rapidly gotten away from us. Just thinking about where we are today in 2021, lessons from Sarah Josepha Hale, and maybe this idea of a national holiday, of a way to bring Americans together. I don't think it's fair to say we're more divided than ever, but we are pretty divided. There was an insurrection at the Capitol in January. Talk to us about what we can learn from Sarah Josepha Hale.
I think we can learn something about balance from her. She did oppose some of the rights, the women's rights, the aspects of the women's rights movement, but she was always very polite to everybody. And while she was intellectually clear about what she wanted, she was never nasty. And I think we could learn something from her grace and goodwill.
It's a good lesson there from Melanie Kirkpatrick. She's the author of the new book, Lady Editor, Sarah Josepha Hale and the Making of the Modern American Woman. She's also a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Melanie Kirkpatrick, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jamie.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Jamie Bologna. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.